Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's like it. He apparently says it on every fucking podcast he does.
I say it on it's said on podcasts that I'm not even on. First of all, like,
yeah, that's
not
true.
On my podcast.
If you want to be that guy.
Well, I mean, you've only got, you know, a few steps away from like Eric Bischoff level megalomania, right? Like,
pretty much.
Yeah, you're almost there.
Apparently, yeah.
But that's because he's the greatest. That's
by the way,
why.
Scum of the earth.
Hall of Fame, painful to watch.
Oh,
yeah. Painful to watch.
That's why it's not a topic of today's show. Speaking of today's show.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. The chair. ChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Shut up!
You're welcome.
Here comes the big dog.
So I was literally just trying to cue up the sabotage and ended up clicking the sabotage twice and just completely interrupting Christopher Platt, who's not here anyway, and messing up the opening of the show, just like I messed up the audio, just like I apparently messed up all of independent wrestling, and so much more here this week on the Babyface Heel podcast. Look, I'm Greg DeMarco. The voices you heard before we started the show were Patrick O'Dowd and Miranda Morales. We're gonna change it up this week, and I'm getting kind of tired of podcasts that have like 5-minute, 8-minute long introductions. I just think that we do too many of those. So even though I'm still using a month and a half old rundown, I am just going to change it up this week, and we're going to dive right in and talk about some WrestleMania, because that's what it is right now, right? It's WrestleMania season. It's WrestleMania week. We're recording this on Tuesday night, April the 6th, the 7-year anniversary of the greatest WrestleMania in the history of our sport, WrestleMania 30, and just a lot of fun things going on, or maybe not fun things going on in the world of WWE, especially World of Wrestling. So we're talking some WrestleMania. We're going to talk about the topic we would have talked about last week, which is, of course, me and my good friend MJF. And then we'll wrap things up with a 3-minute warning as well. So, Patrick O'Dowd, it's WrestleMania week. Does it feel like, I feel like we ask this question every year too. Does it feel like WrestleMania?
For me, not really. Like, I don't know. Like, I know it's supposed to be. I know it's happening this week. I know there are matches taking place. I know that it is a 2-night event and is a week worth of events leading into WrestleMania, and that I should be hyped. But I don't know. Maybe it's the COVID environment, and the no. It's just I'm not. I'm not particularly amped for this WrestleMania. I said it.
Okay.
I just.
Well, and there could be reasons, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. Miranda Morales, what about you? It's WrestleMania week. Does it feel like WrestleMania week?
It does and it doesn't. I'm going to lean more towards what Patrick said, and it does not. I also agree it is due to probably living in this post-COVID world where things just don't quite feel the same as they used to. So I think almost WrestleMania, this WrestleMania feeling is going to feel different now for quite some time, just because of the landscape of wrestling and the structure of it. But also I feel like some of the buildups haven't been the greatest coming into this event, that there is so much that they pack into 2 days that you don't get the same type of buildup and kind of warm and fuzzies that you do, because there's so much content too that you have to sort through just to get through this week. So it almost feels like you are kind of just dragging through this week to get to WrestleMania instead of getting excited about WrestleMania.
See, and I disagree completely. I think it definitely feels like WrestleMania week to me. And I didn't watch Raw last night. I didn't, you know, I'm super busy, and I still feel like it's this weekend. I'm excited to watch both nights of WrestleMania. I'm excited to watch both nights of TakeOver. I finally moved over to the Peacock and got everything ready to go. And so, yeah, I feel good about it. And there's a lot that you guys just said. The Tuesday before the Super Bowl, Patrick O'Dowd, are you sitting there just like all giddy because of the Super Bowl?
Actually, kind of, yeah. I love the Super Bowl. Nice try, though.
Because like, I don't. I sit there the Tuesday before the Super Bowl, and I worry about whatever's going on Tuesday before the Super Bowl. Like, I don't think about the Super Bowl the Tuesday before.
Or I guess a better example would probably be the Final Four. Like, right. You know, if even like this year's Final Four, like when the Elite Eight ended and we knew who the Final Four was, I was like, Final Four, baby, and was ready all week for it. Like, consumed everything I could to do with it. And yeah, I don't know, man. I wish the week leading up to WrestleMania has usually felt like a bigger hype train. It's weird. Like, they're doing more, but I feel less hyped. Does that make sense?
It does.
And I don't know. And part of it, yeah, I will fully disclose, like you talked about being hella busy, you know, like our line of work, April, late March, right? April, like kiss social life out the door, let alone time to do other stuff. So part of it is like not being as up as I usually am with like what's happening. But another part of it is wrestling has just kind of felt there for me since the Royal Rumble. And that's weird.
I mean, first off, you talked about what's consuming your life, right? With work and everything else. And you talked about the COVID environment earlier and in your line of work, that's still a very salient thing that you have to deal with. You've also been watching wrestling for over 30 years. And you've been down this WrestleMania road a lot, and a whole hell of a lot, as has Miranda, as have I. And it's part of this also the fact that this isn't for us anymore. And we've talked about that a bunch of times, like WrestleMania, WWE is not for us. And it's just not promoted for us. It's not booked for us because they know we're going to watch. And so to me, I get excited about WrestleMania just because I almost remind myself to get excited about WrestleMania. It's like I do it on purpose, I guess. It's like I have this thing coming up. It's WrestleMania. Okay, let's focus on WrestleMania.
You will like
exactly.
It.
Yes. That's exactly what I tell myself.
Is that a bad thing if you're like forcing yourself to get excited? Like I said, I feel like
no.
What Patrick was saying is like there's I call it like the butterflies or just this anticipation. Like it doesn't feel the same. And for me, it is because there's too much content that you kind of get lost in all of it. Even all of the buildup and the matches and the shows, I kind of feel more drawn to NXT because it's more of a concise card. And I feel like the buildup, I mean, granted, there's some matches that I feel more drawn to than others, but I feel like the buildup and the presentation of the matches that they have for me are more digestible. And I'm just more invested in than what they have going into WrestleMania. So I mean, if I can then think WrestleMania week for NXT, then great. But this is not NXT week. It's right. WrestleMania.
It's week, NXT so. Week too. It's, you know, stand and deliver and all that. But NXT is one brand, and they have an hour long or 2 hour long show building up this card for one brand since the last takeover, which was in what, February? So we've had all that time to build up their 10 matches that they're doing, whereas WrestleMania is what, 14 matches right now from two brands, 5 hours of content per week. And they just had Fastlane 3 weeks ago. Now, we've known some of the WrestleMania matches even before Fastlane. Like, I hate that argument that Fastlane's too close and that the WrestleMania build's only 3 weeks. No, the WrestleMania build goes back to the Royal Rumble. That's a bullshit argument. I don't buy that. You guys talked, you both mentioned the build. And I guess I'll be the heel on the Babyface Heel podcast. I think criticizing the build in 2021 is a cop-out for me. For people with WrestleMania, I think it's like, okay, what am I going to complain about? Let's complain about the build. Like, just like we talk about when we talk about the ratings, we say everybody consumes wrestling differently now. Everybody consumes their TV differently now. Well, it's the same thing with the build. Like, WWE has to put out what they do 2 weeks before WrestleMania is equally as important to what they do for WrestleMania in terms of success in the company and social media views and all that kind of stuff and people going in for Peacock and whatever else. They're a week-to-week product. I remember that you listen to Bruce Pritchard and Something to Wrestle With years ago. He talked about WrestleMania. Once you get there and start going, it's the same as, you know, doing a live SmackDown. Like, it's the same thing. Once you get going to them, it's just a different environment, different stage. But it's still all the elements are the same, and how they produce it is the same. To me, it's the build is a cop-out because they can't do a long build anymore. They just can't. It's not that kind of product. They're not in the wrestling business anymore. And that's just what they have to do. But yet there's still plenty of things on this card that have had a long build. We've been building Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns since before the Royal Rumble. And now they're 2/3 of the main event. And Edge won the Royal Rumble. It's, I don't know. I don't know if I buy the whole build argument. I mean, Bad Bunny's been in The Miz's hair since before the Royal Rumble. And now they're wrestling in a tag team match at WrestleMania. Yeah, Shane McMahon called Braun Strowman stupid, and now we have that match. But I guarantee you there are kids out there that identify with that shit. And it's I don't know. Mean,
in fairness to Shane, he does make a train noise when he runs around the ring.
Right?
It's pretty stupid, if I do say so myself.
I know. Braun's response should have just been, you guys booked me this way.
I think you're taking a little too much into my statement of the build in that, for me, the build is because I haven't been watching, man. Like, it's not because I can sit there and be like, oh, shit, they rushed this storyline. Damn it. I'll even plug your Tuesday edition of Chair Shot Radio, where ultimately you made the statement that the build doesn't matter because it's about the show itself. Like, basically is what you said. Like,
kinda,
the show itself is what people are going to remember at the end of the day. There are matches, like, I can look at the card and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to probably enjoy, because we've seen it 8 million times, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Like,
of course.
Probably going to enjoy that. Seth Rollins and
Cesaro.
It's just, I needed a second. I'm getting older, man. Like, remember these things. Like, there's stuff I can see, but like, even those matches, like, I'm like, oh, those are going to be great. And just to play on your, I've been watching wrestling for 30 years. I've seen both of those matches in different forms.
In different companies.
In decades. In different companies. And so I know what I'm going to get out of those matches. And I know that experience is going to be great for that fan in me. I don't really begrudge. Like we talked about Bad Bunny like a month ago. And just even the concept of celebrity, which Logan Paul, I'm fine with being on a. Is that who, the guy's name?
Yes.
Yes. I'm fine with him being on the show too. I saw a bunch of people pissy about him and whatever. Again, it's not for you. Other people are tuning in to check that out. Like, I'll enjoy it for what it is when I watch it. But like this week, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm more excited, honestly, about playing Dungeons and Dragons on Saturday before watching WrestleMania than I am kind of for WrestleMania.
When was the last time you played Dungeons and Dragons?
Last week.
Oh, So you've only had a week-long build. What a shitty build to you playing Dungeons & Dragons.
No, but I think
it's weekly also... episodic television, Greg. Just at a tabletop game.
No, I also think like it's not the whole build. I feel like for me in particular, it's hard to focus on the good things because there's just so much happening in one weekend. So that's why for me, I'm just like, it's just a lot to process. But it's not to say that there hasn't been good buildups. It's just that there's some that are better than others. And Of course, I'm going to be watching. There's going to be certain matches that for me are going to be great and I'll watch. But then there's others that I just am not interested in. And for me, it's the expectations. And some of it is nostalgia. I feel like as wrestling fans, we always think in a nostalgic tone that when we look back at WrestleManias, of course, there's some buildups that were great and some that were terrible. But the matches themselves were just, you know, like idols that we remember. And so I feel like in retrospect, it will all be, you know, sunshine and roses and, you know, fireworks. But in the moment, as far as leading up to it, it just feels different.
We don't ever remember the undercard of any WrestleMania, really.
Depends.
We remember some matches out of the undercard of WrestleMania, but really, which matches we're going to remember, and then we go watch them. Like Greg DeMarco can tell you his top five favorite WrestleMania matches, and they're all likely to be headliners or at least something that was promoted the crap out of by the WWE itself, as well as something that Greg watched live. Like he'll tell you. He waffles between Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels and I'm free and 30, right? Is 30 the
other 21.
One?
20. Well, no, that was 21.
But Angle and Michaels is 21.
Yes.
The other match that you sort of flip flop out of with your top WrestleMania.
Well, you're thinking about Daniel Bryan and Triple H from WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
The Bret Hart, Steve Austin from 13 is also up there.
Right.
But you brought up a great point with with Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle from WrestleMania 21. I can't tell you a thing about the build to the match.
Right.
But I love the match. Yeah, it's my favorite match of all time. Now, I can tell you a little more about the build to Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Bret Hart because that was pivotal in the business. Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle was just a great match. And if Cesaro and Seth Rollins have a Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle-esque match in 5 years from now, I won't remember anything about the build, but I'll remember how fantastic and amazing that match was. But if Bad Bunny gives a Pat McAfee-like performance at WrestleMania, I'll remember the match and the build because of what they did to get there. So it really
depends.
They
painted his car, man.
Yeah, but besides that.
$3 million Bugatti. Yeah,
$3 million
Bugatti. Did you know it was $3 million?
Yeah.
Because commentary said it. Every moment.
Yes. That Bugatti cost $3 million, and Britt Baker is a dentist. Okay, those are the two things that we should learn from wrestling in the past 12 months.
It's funny you talk about like memorable builds to WrestleMania, because you know which build actually sticks into my head outside of my favorite storyline of all time?
Which build?
It's the Mickie James Trish Stratus build.
Mm. One of the best.
Like, I remember the Mickie James Trish Stratus build. I remember watching that match with Greg and Hooters with our friend Jerry. And reacting to that match pretty strongly at the time.
And that was one of those where I'm on the edge of my seat begging for Mickie James to win because it was so perfect. It was because it was going to make her. It was going to make her a star. And if she lost, it wouldn't make her a star. And she'll eventually go in the Hall of Fame. And she got set on that trajectory because of that program and that match. So
And the only other build I can pull out and talk about to any detail is my all-time favorite build that you should know, Greg. You remember, right?
I'm like in my head.
On you, WrestleMania 5.
I'm sitting here like Hogan Andre is what I'm thinking.
No,
you're talking about Rick Martel and Tito Santana.
No, I'm talking Savage Hogan.
Oh yeah,
Savage Hogan from the end of WrestleMania 4 to the WrestleMania 5. The Mega Powers explode, and that whole year, especially that summer,
right
when things really started to fall apart. And just was a perfectly told year-long story and is not a story that they do anymore. It's not
anymore. They could do it back then. Because back then you had jobber television And then you had the occasional Saturday night's main event. And that allowed you to push those storylines and push those angles. And it was on the main event, I think, where you had the big moment where Liz gets pushed down and all of that. That's, you know, how those programs were built back then. They just can't do that anymore. But there's a lot of fans out there, that vocal minority that we talked about before, that still wants that, that still wishes they had that, and kind of ignores the fact that in some ways they've got it, and in some ways they've don't. And that's really what WrestleMania is. This build to WrestleMania has been very similar to a lot of other builds to WrestleMania, where some of it's long-term and some of it's short-term. And that's just kind of the way it has been. So, but like all of us have said, we're going to watch it. We're going to consume it. We're going to be a part of it. We'll react to it, how we react to it. Twitter will do what Twitter does. We'll get to that topic here shortly. And it's WrestleMania. We talked about this before and on our shows. And of course, even when we went to WrestleMania, because it was less, you know, a year later that we started podcasting after we went to WrestleMania 26. This is also, and not so much this year because they probably don't have corporate sponsors running around and all that at this year's WrestleMania, but they probably do actually. This is a celebration for WWE internally of a year that they've made it to. And if you think about it, and I believe it was Bianca Belair who said it, it's been 396 days since they had fans when WrestleMania comes around. And so when night one of WrestleMania happens, when Drew McIntyre is the first one in the stadium, and I truly believe he will be the first one in the stadium, then, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because that is, that's, we always talk about the importance that Vince McMahon puts on the opening match. And Miranda, if you think about every ICW event that I've put on, I usually try to make sure the opening match is something important. It sets the tone for the event, right? I truly think Drew McIntyre is going to be the first one out. And even though everyone says he deserves to main event, I think he deserves to be the first one out, because he literally was the one who said, we're going to take this no fan era and we're going to put it on my shoulders and we're going to go. And that's what he basically pulled a John Cena. When John Cena got his mega push, it's because Vince McMahon had a meeting with the talent and said, I need someone to step up. And walking out the door, Cena, who was a white rapper at the time and a heel, grabbed Vince and said, you may not even believe it yet, but I'm that guy. I'm that guy. And look, here we are years later, even though he's not at WrestleMania, damn sure right, he's that guy. He was that guy for a long, long time. So that is where we are. Yes, Patrick O'Dowd, we know that Greg is a promoter. But it comes up, but I'm not even going to go into why it comes up and why it's important, because you're just having fun. And
oh, you got we'll a big, people smiling face. We'll get there.
We will get there. You're right.
We'll get there, ladies and gentlemen.
And we get there on your show all the time.
This next conversation is actually.
So before we get to this next. Before we get to this next conversation, I do want to get a few things out there. Of course, as you know, this is the Babyface Heel Podcast. I'm Greg DeMarco at Chairshot Greg on social media. Patrick O'Dowd is at Wrestling Realist. It's WrestlingRealist. Miranda Morales is at the hashtag Miranda, not on Twitter though, because she is the Twitterless heroine. She's also the queen of soft style. Everybody's got lots of nicknames, and maybe if we return to the old way, we'll introduce more of people's nicknames in the future. Of course, if you're listening to this on thechairshot.com, it also streams, well, worldwide on platforms like Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, iHeart, and so many more. Like, subscribe, leave us that 5-star review. Be a friend, tell a friend. We love to have you on board there. And of course, as part of the Chairshot Radio Network, so many amazing shows. So when you like, subscribe, and leave that 5-star review, you're doing it for all that content, the amazing content on the Chairshot Radio Network, like Bandwagon Nerds, like Chairshot Radio, like the hashtag Miranda Show, which all three of us are a part of in those shows in many different forms throughout the week that we do here at the Chairshot Radio Network. So before we go to the next topic, you know, it's time to go to a commercial break, which means, Miranda, it's time to do something else too.
It's time to wind it up. Yes, it is indeed time for you to go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot to purchase your very own ChairShot t-shirt today. At ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot, you're going to find over 25 different t-shirt designs, all in support of thechairshot.com. That includes multiple Always Use Your Head t-shirts, the Chairshot Worldwide, the Chairshot Corona t-shirt, the beer, not the virus, and the hashtag journalism shirt, and of course, t-shirts for Impact Zone Wrestling IZW, and classics such as Suck It Nerd and Baron Corbin Sucks. And if you're interested in supporting one of the many podcasts on thechairshot.com, you can purchase a shirt of A Winner Is You, Bandwagon Nerds, and of course, the Queen of Soft Style shirt. And of course, everyone hates Greg because apparently everybody does. Never went away. Always in style. So go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your shirt. They start at $19.99. But if you want to upgrade and pay a few extra dollars, you can order them in soft style. So go ahead. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot today.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Hello everyone! Welcome to the greatest sports entertainment spectacular of all time! Welcome to WrestleMania!
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Make sure you're checking out Mania Madness every Friday afternoon on thechairshot.com. Christopher Platt and a rotating list of guests go through every WrestleMania one six-pack at a time. Check it out every Friday, only on the Chairshot Radio Network.
You know, Mania Madness has been a lot of fun to listen to because it's like Patrick O'Dowd said, you don't remember every undercard match at a WrestleMania. They'll be talking about a WrestleMania and they'll be like, yeah, well, you know, and this was the WrestleMania when JBL had that short match against Rey Mysterio. And I'm like, oh yeah, forgot about that match. Oh, forgot that happened too. Oh, this is that WrestleMania. Like, there's just so much that's happened over the past 36 years of WrestleMania that you can't remember it all. And so go back and relive it with Mania Madness. The last episode drops this Friday. They'll be covering WrestleMania 31 through 36, and they will do so, of course, on the Chairshot Radio Network. So check that out. So a week ago, maybe a little over a week ago now, actually over a week ago now, because we were going to record it at that time, I sent out a tweet, and it was basically about some stuff going on with AEW. Now, I'm trying to find the tweet. You think I'd have it prepared, but I don't really have it prepared. And then I tweeted something else.
Did you pin that?
Huh? No, I pinned something else.
You didn't save it as your screensaver?
You should have pinned that tweet.
I did pin something else, and it was related to it. So here, I got this one right here. So, okay. March 26th, Greg DeMarco tweeted this. And it's been read on other programs on this network, too. Quick question. Is anyone calling out AEW and at Tony Khan? I didn't, you know, bitch tweet. I actually added him. For the fact that running a house show on Friday, April 9th only hurts the independent promotions running in Florida for WrestleMania week. WWE doesn't have fans that night. So this is really a slap in the face of the indies. To which Maxwell Jacob Friedman, otherwise known as MJF, replied with, "What's it like being both the dumbest and ugliest looking rat-faced gremlin under the troll bridge on all of Twitter?" Now, let's start here. No,
I mean it's a fair question.
Yeah.
Answer the question, Greg.
And I did answer the question, like, actually. Like
what's wrong with your face, Greg?
If you go through the timeline.
Why do you look like a rat, Greg?
If you go through the timeline, I did answer the question. And people didn't like that answer either. That got me blocked. I got this whole – I got blocked by people before I even replied. Just the simple fact that MJF tweeted at me caused me to get blocked by people. Like that's – that's what's – I know, right? I appreciate it. Right up there with JBL, Goldberg, and Titus O'Neil. Three that I don't understand, but –
Warrior Award winning Titus O'Neil,
right? Too. Like, has me blocked on Twitter.
How did you cross? How did you cross?
Yeah, Titus how did you cross a saint? I mean,
like there are some I never recipient. Did. I've done nothing but been nice to him on Twitter. Like that's the crazy thing. And then he blocks me. The only one I really deserve is Abyss. I deserve that one, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you absolutely deserve Abyss.
Because Abyss sucks, and Abyss is the worst wrestler in the history of wrestling.
At least you're important enough to get blocked by people, you know? Like, I don't get blocked by people.
I think the real race we need to do is if I can get blocked by more people than follow you. That's what I think we need to do.
Oh, yeah. At that point, yeah. Just keep on with the AEW tweets, and at that point, he'll reach that goal within, like, 2 weeks.
Before this, the last time that I checked, and it was less than a year ago, but it was months ago, I had, like, 24 people blocking me or something like that. Because there's some way you can check and find out. I'm sure that's doubled after these tweets, and that's all fine and well. So I also discover like people that I've muted and don't know why I've muted them. So that's also lots of fun. But
that's funny.
There's a lot of questions I can ask and things that we can point out about this and things that we've all talked about. But I want to let you guys just kind of talk about it. And Patrick went first before, so Miranda can go first this time. What are things that jump out at you, questions you want to ask or whatever? Because I don't want to just lead you guys in one direction.
No, I just, how? Like, that's the thing. How is this? I mean, I'm not on Twitter as much, but I would imagine that the only person that you added was Tony Khan. And then the fact that in this roundabout way, you didn't even like hashtag MJF. Like MJF was nowhere near this conversation.
Nor to be found.
Until he put himself in this conversation, which then wonders how the hell did MJF get in this conversation? Now, I know we'll talk about that. I know there's so many thoughts.
Well, let's talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, like, does Tony Khan literally just like send this to MJF and say, hey, go after this guy? Like, this is his little Twitter assassin.
I don't know. Like, but how did MJF know to tweet at me? Like, does he go through Tony Khan's mentions? Does he, you know, look for this or does somebody send it to him and say, hey, cause if they sent my tweet to MJF on behalf of Tony Khan, whether it's Tony Khan or somebody doing it for Tony Khan, this happens to other people too. It's not just me. This is actually a concerted effort, not against me, but just against people that point out their hypocrisies. And that's bad.
All right. So I'm gonna be that guy. There's also the whole algorithm piece of people you follow, you get their mentions from time to time. Ergo, it is possible that MJF happened to be at the right place at the right time.
Right.
To see.
Because you follow Tony Khan. Yeah.
But also, even if, because MJF is Fabe all the time, you know, he lives in MJF. So yes, why is he concerned about what Tony Khan is doing? As a heel, he would be, if anything, against Tony Khan. Like he would, you know, hypothetically, he would. Because Tony Khan, at least on AEW television, right. I'm not even getting into Impact television. On AEW television, is somewhat facey. So,
but he believes in branding clearly, and
right,
and having that name connected. So I'm going to err on the side of MJF, even in character, would use the boss, quote unquote, as a vehicle to increase their Twitter footprint, so to speak.
Well, remember, this is AEW. They all want to be loved by the fan base. And Cody said it before they even started. They're not going to insult the fans' intelligence with baby faces and heels. Like, he said that. Mm-hmm. And he also said they'd never run a show during WrestleMania time.
They called it Bush League or something like that.
He said that's their weekend. We would never do that. He may have called it Bush League and something else. And I, to be fair, I later tweeted, because someone sent me the picture, a screenshot of the tweet that Cody Rhodes, where he said that. And I added both Tony Khan and Cody Rhodes. And I even said it probably wasn't Cody Rhodes' decision. It was probably Tony Khan's. And Cody Rhodes, normally he's quick to respond, that didn't say a word. Probably because I'm right. And you can't, he's right. Not going to say something bad about the boss because that's just giving him all the money. Here's why I think, there's two reasons why I think MJF did what he did. You ever heard the phrase, don't bite the hand that feeds you?
Yes.
Well, I kind of reversed it to he is stroking the hand that feeds him, because that's, you know, he's coming, he's running the aid of the boss because he wants to show him, I'm your guy. I'm your John Cena in the meeting telling you I'll be your biggest star for the next 5 years. And I'm showing you this right here, right now. The other one, and Miranda has no idea who this is, but Patrick O'Dowd knows who this is. I was told that our good friend Trevor, better known as Rovert on the Twitter, may have sent this to MJF.
Oh, Jesus.
And pointed this out to him that I said that, because 8 or 9 years isn't long enough for someone to hate me and want to, you know, be whatever he is.
Well, are you blocked by him?
No, I'm not blocked by him, and he's not blocked by me. Nope, not at all.
Oh, nice.
I only block people if they do things like come after, like threaten my family, which I've had to do with everybody who writes for PWP Nation who tried to claim they were going to kill my kids or whatever they said they were going to do. So, yeah, I don't block.
That's messed up.
Often, unless I absolutely have to. And
that's such a Trevor move.
Isn't it though?
Actually, it is.
So there's that possibility as well, that Rover, because I guess he follows Rover, which means Rover can DM him. So there you go. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. MJF follows Rovert. That should be all you need to know about MJF, is that he follows Rovert. But here's the other thing. No one, especially from the company, has been able to tell me why I'm wrong about what I said.
They've actually relied on the fan fallacy of the driving distance between Tampa and Orlando or whatever, Jacksonville or whatever.
Right, 3 hours.
As this big argument, as if, and Greg, Miranda, you both can back me on this. What fan goes to WrestleMania?
Well, 75% of them are traveling fans and hardcore fans.
What do those fans willingly do for the entirety of the time? Greg, what did we do?
We drove from wrestling show to wrestling show. We drove everywhere.
And let me ask you this.
We even figured out a way we could go to an extra Dragon Gate USA show after the Ring of Honor show.
Two ROH shows, a Dragon Gate USA show, the Raw after WrestleMania. We did it. We did remember, as much I as went, we could before I left.
I went to the Dragon Gate USA show wearing a ROH staff polo shirt, and people were looking at me funny because I didn't bring something to change into, so I'm stuck there wearing.
Taboo. They thought you were a spy.
Right? They did.
Which was, and anyway, but the idea that fans who literally travel across the world to get to a location on a day when there is no significant WWE event happening would then not willingly make the trip to check out AEW, this company that likes to tout itself as the alternative and as this big deal, like that audience isn't going to travel, is disingenuous at best.
Well, and because they've promoted this house show.
We drove 6 hours to two different independent shows.
We did.
To the greatest weekend of the history of our sport.
We absolutely did.
And that wasn't even for a WWE weekend.
No.
So don't tell me people won't travel the 3 hours.
So here's
their business elsewhere.
I could use this to put myself over, and I think I will. Miranda, how far is the drive from Albuquerque, New Mexico to Phoenix, Arizona?
It's almost 7 hours.
I'm like, because you've made it. I've literally talked to you on the phone while you were making this drive before.
Yes.
People drive from Albuquerque, New Mexico to Phoenix, Arizona to go to IZW wrestling events. Mm-hmm. And Texas and Vegas and California and all that stuff. And we're not even AEW. We're not even the vaunted All Elite Wrestling that people love so much. And people are willing to drive that far to my lesser known independent shows, you know, they're starting to get more known. They're not AEW, never going to be AEW. So don't tell me that no one's going to drive 3 hours to go to AEW versus seeing some indie event that would have taken place on Friday, because it can't go to SmackDown. There's no fans at SmackDown, even though it's basically like night one of Ultima Lucha at this point, this week's SmackDown. But it's still, there's no fans at SmackDown unless you're on a video board. So they're going to do that. Here's the other thing. Look at all the marketing for this event from AEW. The historic first ever AEW house show. You will not be able to see this on television. Will not be recorded. The only way to see it is to be there live and in person. And that just really struck me as the best, because it's like, we're literally telling you, you have to come to this event. We're booking street fights because AEW has a street fight on every event now. And we're booking all kinds of, you know, Eddie Kingston's big return. We've got all the big stars in action. Like 10 different matches have been announced for this show, when you include the appearances that are going to turn into matches that they've announced.
Is it an After Dark episode too?
I'm sure Sting will talk. No, there's no television, Patrick O'Dowd. I'm sure Sting will talk to Tony Schiavone, because I think they're still doing that every week.
Yeah.
So it's being promoted as something you have to go see. And 3 hours is not that far to drive for wrestling. And that's why it just makes me laugh when that's the big argument that's being given to everybody else. Here's my favorite one. And yes, this is self-serving again. But remember, this all started because MJF tweeted at me. So I guess I can be a self-serving. One of the replies to my statement about this being a slap in the face of the independents was obviously, Greg is the one who doesn't care about independent wrestling. If he thinks this is a slap in the face of the independents. Now, the person didn't know. Person doesn't know. Ray Cash jumped in and was like, hold up, let me explain to you something. And he did. And they went back and forth. And the guy was like, I didn't know that. And that's obvious. But
I remember that. I read that conversation.
Apparently, Greg DeMarco
doesn't care about independent wrestling. That's the shirt. That's the moneymaker right there.
Greg DeMarco doesn't care about independent wrestling. I could talk for hours about this, but I feel like, I don't know. And Ray Cash and Christopher Platt and PC Tony, they've all talked about it on different Chairshot radio shows. Do I care about independent wrestling?
Hey, Miranda, did you know that Greg DeMarco is a promoter for independent wrestling?
Actually, he's a promoter for Impact Zone Wrestling here in the great state of Arizona, Tempe, Arizona.
Really?
Yes, yeah. I didn't know he knew that.
He must really hate his talent then. I bet you they don't like working for him, so much so that they keep coming back and thanking him for opportunities.
Actually, people are, you know, coming from all over the Southwest to come to these shows, but what would he know about independent
wrestling?
All right,
that's all the complimenting I'm going to do for Greg DeMarco. I feel dirty now.
It's just like, how
can we go back
to
calling him a rat face?
You can.
Tweet how is it that you don't care about independent wrestling when your tweet was exactly about supporting
my concern
wrestling
for the indies, like, and what this is doing to them?
They just didn't even bother to read the original tweet. No. They really didn't. Well, like, people just bypassed the original tweet, took what MJF said as gospel, and attacked. And well, that's a whole gambit of the issue with AEW.
This has been the thing that I've found really fascinating, and particularly on the social media fan base, is the, and I know that there are these fans that exist for other companies as well. Like, there's a contingent of, say, New Japan fans who are just like this. There's a contingent of WWE fans. They don't care what Greg tweeted. They don't.
No.
They really have no concept of what Greg tweeted. It's what you said. MJF said this was a bad thing, so we have to try and roast Greg, and we're gonna try to intimidate this person.
It's true.
We're gonna make them feel all, you know, try to make them walk away from what they've said, even if what they said is true. Like, it's no different than getting roasted when you criticize their product in any way, shape, or form, as if that suddenly makes you some WWE mark, shill, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And so you clearly don't understand anything. You're a piece of shit. You need to get out of here. You don't know what you're talking about. And clearly you hate the indies. Clearly you hate all this talent that's working so hard to fight this invisible evil empire that they like, that they want to put on the WWE. They want to continue to have that little brother, us against the world syndrome. And anybody who speaks counter to that, or even points out their own hypocrisy, well, you must be part of the problem. Mm-hmm. Because you can't be. We're the solution. We're the answer. We who don't really do anything that's that special as a wrestling company.
We're
the alternative.
Whose fans apparently aren't willing to drive 3 hours to see our events.
Right.
Here's the thing.
Well, no, they're just not going to go see the WWE events.
Right, that's true. Mm-hmm. But remember, I was called stupid because someone said I obviously don't understand the geography of Florida, because Jacksonville's 3 hours away from Tampa and no one's going to drive 3 hours to see the historic first time ever event that you can only see live. No one's going to do that, but they'll drive seven for my event that none of those people have ever heard of.
They'll fly from Europe to Florida.
Yeah, they'll fly from Europe to Florida to see WrestleMania, but won't find a way to get to Jacksonville for the AEW that they love so much. They probably would fly from Europe to go to an AEW pay-per-view as well. I have worked painlessly or painstakingly to do things like increase wrestler pay. Like, we're selling out shows left and right. And so what am I doing? I'm trying to get my wrestlers paid more money on our events. I'm trying to give people opportunities and bring in talent. Heck, this last show that we're getting ready to put on in May, we weren't going to use the talent that usually comes in from Denver. And then when I crunched all the financials and saw the fact that this show was going to be crazy profitable, I said, you know what? We can use the Denver talent and still get a profit. So we use it. So we're using the Denver talent, even though we didn't have to. Like, the show was already doing so well without them, but yet we still brought them in because we like them. We want to give them the opportunity, and they love our locker room, and we cherish that locker room. And so to say that, but I don't care about independent wrestling, that is the one that cracked me up.
And I think there's also this underlying thing about, this is the first time that other independent shows are running during WrestleMania weekend. That last year, that was taken away because of COVID.
And that put one of them out of business.
Literally hundreds of independent wrestlers from all over the U.S. are now coming to Tampa for just an opportunity to wrestle or possibly wrestle. So that house show that they do is going to take away people who would be in Tampa look at new eyes, to look at talent from all over the United States. And so whether that's happening financially, but just also the visibility, these are people who need to sell merch, who need, you know, social media followers, who are trying to build up their portfolio. So not only is it impacting the overall landscape, it's impacting individual wrestlers. Now, they may say, they are doing so much for the independent wrestling community because of concepts like Dark and Elevation, or Elevate, I forget the other name, but how they're bringing independent talent from, you know, all over for these shows. But you're also directly competing against them on such a pivotal night. So I think it's, you know, that's a whole other added element too, that as you're talking about utilizing talent, that this whole experience now is directly impacting hundreds of wrestlers that are going to be working those nights, especially that Friday night.
Yeah.
If those wrestlers even work that Friday night, because one of the other things that I, and Greg, you can back me up on this, that you always see at shows is talent that may not be booked. They'll show up at shows to try and get caught and booked. Yeah. So they're not going to go and try and get caught on and booked at the independent show, around WrestleMania. They might make that trip up to Tampa too. And so they may actually miss an opportunity just by trying to catch on at AEW that they could get going. It's far more complicated. And to act like AEW's footprint isn't big enough to significantly impact what's going to happen to the indie scene. And it's not going to, like, Greg, I don't even think Greg's saying that this is going to create some big smoking crater on independent shows, but to act like it's not going to be in direct competition and hurt their opportunity is disingenuous at best.
No, but like, and, a Game Changer Wrestling that's running a 2,000 seat facility but only selling 200 tickets, they're probably not going to be hurt by this. But some other random independent that's running down there that we don't even really hear so much about, if 20 people decide not to go to that event because instead they end up going to AEW, and say those tickets are $20 each, that's $400. And people were like, well, it's $400 for more than that. I can tell you, $400 can be the difference between a show making money and a show losing money. Easily, $400 can do that. And if they don't have, you know, previously agreed upon rates with talent, that could be the difference between what people get paid. So there's a lot of things that go into this that people, again, show they don't really know what they're talking about when they bring it up. But the biggest part about it is the fact that MJF found an important enough tweet about. And here's the other thing, too. Since this has gone down, my email has been spammed with all sorts of things that I didn't sign up for, none of which came my way until after MJF tweeted at me. And I literally had to spend like an entire weekend. I must have unsubscribed from 100 different things to get these emails to stop coming through. Like mortgage stuff, car stuff. I mean, yeah, it's the crazy, the things that I like the washer and dryer sales, the things that I got signed up for by some people, was just absolutely insane. That's why people hate AEW, because they have the fan base. It's a toxic fan base. And they do some crazy stuff just because they love this product and because they want to hate the other product so much. And you can't dare say anything bad about them. Tony Khan didn't reply. Cody Rhodes didn't reply. And just MJF did. So lots of fun. It gave us tremendous amount of content across the Chairshot Radio Network. I loved hearing people talk about it and the support and everything's just been a blast. And hey, all those events are still going to happen. AEW will be just fine. Hopefully the independents will be just fine as well. And we can move on and have some fun. So, cause that's what this is all about. It's all about having fun.
You have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
I screwed that up. I got to go back and play the commercials. Hang on. You don't have to buzzer again, but it's all one clip. But you can buzzer again.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore. Everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
We talked about it at the top of the show. WrestleMania 37, just mere days away. And Patrick O'Dowd and Miranda Morales, as we march toward WrestleMania, the phrase I have to say is, LOL, Charlotte does nothing. There's no Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania as of this time, as of the time that we record this show. Supposedly, she's cleared of her COVID. At least that's what Andrade tells us on social media. But could we actually have WrestleMania with no Charlotte Flair? Miranda, we'll let you go first.
Yes, I think we actually can. They may save her until the Raw after WrestleMania, and that's where the swerve comes in. But I could see it right now that we don't have a WrestleMania without Charlotte. I just feel like really you could place her in the Raw women's match, but it already seems like they've are going through with that match as is. And I would see it as more of a surprise of her showing up on Raw the next night and, you know, maybe beating whoever the women's champ is. And that's when LOL Charlotte wins. And she goes after, you know, at that point, is it like reign number 9? I don't even 11. Know, but 11 yeah, already.
Yeah. She's the 10 time champion.
Yeah. So then we get reign 11 and bada bing, bada boom. There you go.
Patrick O'Dowd.
I mean, I feel like I'm cheating a little bit because, again, if you listen to Chairshot Radio, you heard Greg's thoughts all about this on Tuesday. So spoiler alert. But I'm kind of with you, Greg. I think it's kind of a 50-50 proposition at this point. Like, they, I think, should find a way to make her a part of the show if she truly is cleared and ready to come back. However, also, as noted, Raw after WrestleMania, they like to have some big returns. They like to have people show up. They like to have a big moment.
But is that even
a lot of
it's
sense?
Not that, like, she hasn't been gone that long. It's not like that'd be
yeah, but it's still
that big of a
it's
moment.
It's still kind of a big deal.
It's just more out of nowhere.
Greg, you said it. It's not about the build, so who cares?
Oh, I know. You're right.
So no, I think it's big enough. Like, she's been gone enough from the picture that like right. people aren't.
She
really
kind of came back into
her.
The picture in what, December at TLC, and right. then ended up disappearing again due to COVID.
She's busy doing photo shoots,
yes.
and posting them on social.
For her birthday, which I think was yesterday, Monday, yep. depending on when you guys are listening. Short of Bayley like demanding a match and Charlotte showing up on SmackDown and being like, let's go. Because Bayley doesn't have a match either at WrestleMania. And 2 years ago, Patrick O'Dowd would be shocked if I were to say it's a crime that Bayley doesn't have a match at WrestleMania, but it's a crime that Bayley doesn't have a match at WrestleMania at this point. I say just let those two go and let them have a match at WrestleMania and let them tear it up.
I mean, real quick, just the idea. I mean, we do have that tag team gauntlet
right
happening in night one. What if they come out together as a surprise team?
And imagine if they're a surprise team and neither member of the Iconics is anywhere to be found. Like,
that would be WWE.
Even though Billy Kay and Carmella are apparently forming a tag team, and Peyton Royce Greg, was angry and got a non-title match.
Like, let's go back to the WWE philosophy of tag teams, Greg. You understand?
Oh, I do understand. This is
super team.
They've booked the super team of Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler better than any other super team in a really long time. Like, that's
Show Miz.
It's actually well booked. I know,
it's
right?
Since Show Miz.
Since Show Miz. And they don't even have a cool name, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler.
No.
Like they just don't.
Scary.
Yeah, I don't need one. But I would, honestly, I think at this point, the best way to use Charlotte Flair, and it would piss so many people off, it really would, is if at some point she showed up and attacked Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. Or if she attacked Asuka and Rhea Ripley during their match and made her statement that way. Because and probably because if I believe that Drew McIntyre is going to open night one of WrestleMania, and that also means I believe Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks are going to close night one of WrestleMania. And they should. Night two is when you have Asuka and Rhea Ripley. That's not going to close the show. If you have Charlotte show up and attack somebody there, either during or after the match, that to me is Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania. And that would make that's a bigger surprise and a bigger moment than her showing up on Raw after Mania at this point. And I would be all for that. Just something different, something that I think would be fun and exciting. But it's just weird that she's left off the card. I know Kevin Owens left off the card a couple years ago, I think 35, and that sucked for him because he was cleared and ready to compete. But I would love, you know, Charlotte Flair is a future legend, a legend in the making, current legend, whatever you want to call her. She'll break her father's record at some point. We all know what's going to happen. She's already got 10 reigns, and she's been on the main roster for 5 years. It was 5 years ago, a couple days ago, that they had the historic triple threat between her, Becky Lynch, and Sasha Banks at WrestleMania 32. So I think something will go down, maybe at Raw after Mania, or maybe she's not cleared yet, and we just don't know. And that's always a possibility right. as well. So. Mm-hmm. That is going to wrap things up for this edition of the Babyface Heel Podcast as part of the ChairShot Radio Network, which you can find at thechairshot.com. Go follow that at ChairShot Media. We appreciate you listening. Of course, we're on every single week. Listen to ChairShot Radio each and every day, 8 a.m. Eastern Time on thechairshot.com. This show, of course, drops on Wednesdays. We've got the hashtag Miranda Show on Thursdays. Miranda Morales at the hashtag Miranda. What can the world and me, since I have no idea, expect on this week's edition of the hashtag You Show? Which of the topics am I going to steal for ChairShot Radio?
Yes. So we're going to be going a little bit more into depth on the WrestleMania card, really highlighting the matches that we're looking forward to and maybe some that, you know, maybe are falling a little bit flat as we head into this weekend. So we're going to even do some predictions because it wouldn't be a WrestleMania without predictions.
Patrick O'Dowd is at Wrestling Realist. That's WrestlingRealist on the Twitter. Patrick, I made mental notes of things that I really agreed with you on Bandwagon Nerds, and I no longer remember those mental notes, but you made a lot of points that I really agreed with you on this week's edition of Bandwagon Nerds.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Well, thank you for agreeing.
I don't
with
remember
me.
What they were. It was towards the end. What was the question on Patrick O'Dowd has a question? What was it? Remind me, because I...
What is a movie you absolutely hate, and what is a movie you will stand on a hill and die for?
Yeah, it was.
Was it when I ripped on Godzilla versus Kong?
Maybe. I did text you about that, telling you that I did not love that movie. Okay. Since I wasn't on Bandwagon Nerds, and by the way, listen to Bandwagon Nerds every Monday. And what's the nerd review this week?
It's going to be Godzilla versus Kong.
So I'm going to pose this question to both of you guys. Spoiler alert, if any of you haven't seen Godzilla versus Kong, okay? Imagine if WWE went with Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania, okay? Imagine if they had this epic showdown and Roman Reigns has Drew McIntyre beat, foot on his chest, takes the foot off, and here comes Brock Lesnar out of nowhere and beats down Roman Reigns to the point where Drew McIntyre, being the hero, gets up and they fight off Brock Lesnar, and someone for a brief period of time finds a way to shut off Brock Lesnar's energy so that they can get the upper hand, because that's the only way they can apparently beat Brock Lesnar. And Drew McIntyre is the one to eventually put down Brock Lesnar. And then Roman Reigns looks at Brock Lesnar and says, or looks at Drew McIntyre and says, "No, I'm good." Turns around and walks back to the back. And we don't get our winner at WrestleMania. That's what I felt like watching Godzilla versus Kong.
We should bring you on Bandwagon Nerds on Sunday.
That's how I felt.
Kong was pure baby in this. I'm just gonna put that out there.
He was babyface hero. Baby. Yes.
Yes.
But the movie is called Godzilla versus Kong, and yet we never got a winner. Look, everybody writes an article for thechairshot.com. My biggest pet peeve is if you ask a question in your article and then don't answer it or don't have an opinion, then I don't like your article, right? And I will tell you
all the big ones, you know, Freddy versus Jason, Alien versus Predator. I mean, in some ways they do have some kind of winner, quote unquote, but then there's a swerve as to like, oh, it's not finished yet.
And my son even argued with me that Godzilla technically wins because Kong was done.
I mean, he literally had to be defibrillated by humans to be brought back into the fight.
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of like a count-out victory, if you want to call it that.
No, he straight up killed a bitch. He killed Kong. Like, Kong dead. D-E-D, basically. Anyway, on Bandwagon Nerds this week, we talked about a lot of shows that people may not have been watching that have dropped on streaming services, as well as our continued review of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Read the nerd review. I won't spoil how much I dislike it. I actually dislike it though, Greg, for different reasons than why.
I'm sure. Well, that's pet peeve. That pet peeve about that movie.
I don't know if you know this, Patrick, but Greg is an independent wrestling promoter, so he's just he would have booked it differently.
Yeah, I would have booked it differently. You're right.
Yeah.
I absolutely would have booked it differently.
He's booking this movie differently because
here's what bothered me even more than that though. Here's what bothered me even more than that, Patrick O'Dowd.
What's that?
Part of this movie takes place in Hong Kong, right?
Yeah.
The big epic fight takes place in Hong Kong. You have Godzilla in Hong Kong. And I'm sorry, but it is completely appropriate in Hong Kong for at least one person to look up at Godzilla and go, "Godzilla, Godzilla," and run away. And that didn't happen.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
The hell is wrong with these people?
The opinions of Greg DeMarco do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Chairshot Radio Network and Chairshot.com. Anyway.
They absolutely do.
Oh, okay, then you should send a Dave's recommendation.
Awesome!
By the way, everybody, that's our show. Always use your head. Go watch WrestleMania. Have fun. That's what it's supposed to be about. WrestleMania. Godzilla, Godzilla was too far. You guys didn't like Godzilla, Godzilla? Really?
Jesus. I knew where you were going the second you started talking about it being in China. Greg DeMarco.
Oh no.
Everybody hates Greg. Oh my goodness. Such a good show.
I think you need to I mean, it would be a joke only the people at the Chair Shot Radio Network would know, but a, you know, just start adding the different people hating Greg shirts, like an MJF hates Greg.
I know,
shirt,
right?
Could be next. Yes.
Tony Khan hates Greg tomorrow.
Tony Khan.
Oh, man.
Hey, Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin dug us.
Baron Corbin likes me. Yeah. He probably likes me. And that's, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Baron Corbin gets it. Good shit. Yes.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.